Hey there, sit down, make yourself comfortable, and grab a cup of tea. Welcome to the 138th episode of Thea's Tea. Thanks for tuning in. Welcome everyone to another episode of Thea's Tea, or welcome back if you've been here before. For this week's tea talk, I am trying for the first time ever a new flavor of tea. It was actually gifted to me by my friend Sophie, who came to visit me a couple of weeks ago, and I was just so touched that she thought of such a special detail as tea to bring to me. And it is cranberry flavored, so that's nice. I tried it and it's really good. It tastes like red fruits tea, which I know cranberry is a red fruit, but yeah, you know, red fruit tea in general is one of my favorite flavors, so I'm glad to like this one. I also really love the detail that on the packet it comes with a little sentence. It says, "It's your mojo, honey. Don't let it walk about." Which, quite frankly, I don't understand, but I think it's sassy, so more power to it. As for the mug I'm drinking it in, it's my classic tea mug. These have been like circulating online, I feel, but it's a nice, big, fat, white mug with a tiny little handle and a giant, bold tea stamped on the front for Thea's Tea. The setup for this episode is me. It's nighttime, maybe the night before this episode is supposed to go out. But yeah, last episode, Jesus Christ, my charger just kind of burned me. I don't know what is with these things. Last week I was like, oh my god, it's my first time drinking a hot beverage of the season. And since I have had quite a few hot beverages, well, there was one evening where I drank tea, like hot tea, and I've been putting on my sweaters, my fuzzy socks. The weather is starting to cool down. Fall is in the air, which I'm not dreading that much. Honestly, I'm excited for the cozy vibes, and I feel like I have a much more clear perspective of how I'm going to live this winter so that it doesn't traumatize me as much as last year. No, I'm exaggerating. But yeah, you know, I'm not as afraid of it as I thought I would be. So let the cozy vibes commence. As I know you guys are super invested, let me give you a little recap of my life lately. So last week, the end of last week, looked as pretty much they all do, a nice little social Thursday and Friday. I had pretty chill outings both days. I mean, going out hardcore and going all out is obviously fun, but it is more sustainable to have like chill outings if you want to go out multiple times in the week. So that's kind of what I did on Thursday and Friday. Friday was fun. We got kebab and we ate it like on the edge of the river. And then we went to our favorite local bar. You know, it was a pretty solid plan. I'm kind of upset about the fact that the weather is starting to cool down because we won't be able to do those outdoorsy activities as much. But I feel like I had a good run this season. And Friday afternoon was also nice because I finished class at 12. So it gave me a free afternoon in which I ran some adult life errands, slay girl boss, and I did this touristy activity with my friend Yemen, who listens to the podcast very attentively. I feel like I need to watch my mouth in case I say something bad. No, but anyways, we went to this super touristy activity in Bordeaux that's basically like a tower from which, like next to a cathedral, from which you can view the city from a high point. Because there aren't that many like panoramic viewpoints of the city. So I was surprised that I've been living here for like a year and hadn't had like an aerial view of the city. So that was really nice. I loved it. And as I mentioned in my previous episode, I really just want to get into the habit of living as a tourist in your own city, you know, like not stopping doing these types of things, exploring, you know. And sometimes it's like you live in a place, but the most typical things that tourists come to do, you've never even done, which is like, come on. So yeah, I want to become more well-versed in my city. Saturday was a big day because one of the main events I've been talking about for the past couple of weeks, which was the day to integrate the new generation and the current generation at our university's program, finally came. So we had a day running around the city, taking a bunch of pictures. We had a photo challenge. So there were like, you know, dares to do, classic things of the city to capture, things like that. So it was very fun to see everybody doing these crazy things, you know, running into the opposing team on the streets. It was a very fun experience and I couldn't attend the one last year. So it was especially more meaningful to me. And also since I helped put it together, it felt like a full circle moment and I was very happy to have, you know, participated in that. Although when it was over, I did feel kind of like drained and like, wow, you know, all of that is now over. It's a part of my life that I will not be, you know, like involved in anymore. You know, like no more planning this, no more thinking about this. You know, it's kind of done. In the evening, we had a party, which kind of traumatized me as well. I had not attended a party in a while where like so many things I felt happened to me, and like so much was going on, and so much gossip that directly affected me like went down. I am still recovering from that night, and it's not like it was that dramatic. Just in my head, I was like, a bunch of things happened that I am still processing. So yeah, I don't know. It was a good party, I feel like, we put together. I like the vibes. I feel like it was fun. People were having a good time. And yeah, it was just really nice to have all of these people together, you know, mingling, connecting. People that I had seen like a couple of times, you know, gathered all together is really cool. I love these kind of like big crossover parties, in the sense that it's like when worlds collide, you know, people you wouldn't normally see together all hanging out, I feel like is really cool. So after that fun, chaotic day, Sunday, definitely needed to regroup, pull my life together, take care of schoolwork, take care of like the other admin things I needed to do in my life. So it was very much like in that vibe, in contrast with the day before. And as I'm telling you guys, the night was so intense that I met up with my friend Paolo to have a detailed debrief about what had gone down that night and just exchange gossip, exchange perspectives. You know, I feel like that's so fun. It's one of my favorite things about being young and going out and partying, just exchanging the gossip the next day and like debriefing. I just find it so fun. So that over coffee and juice was a great activity. And this week I've had, you know, like a pretty chill start to my week / middle of my week. Nothing really extravagant to report, but, you know, normal classes, extracurricular activities, things going on. Something that was really fun and different that I did yesterday was go to a candlelight concert. I don't know if this is a global thing or a French thing, but it's basically like a series of events in France that are like candlelight concerts, basically. So they put up a bunch of like fake LED candles, and the room is completely illuminated just by that. And you know, they give different types of concerts. They usually do like honors to big, you know, different artists or groups. So I was in ABBA yesterday, but they also do Queen, they also do Hans Zimmerman, you know, things like that. So yesterday was a string quartet and they were just playing ABBA's classics. So it was a really fun experience. We had booked it like a month ago, so it was something we were looking forward to. And I don't know, I just really like living in Europe for like the cultural offer. And I feel like yesterday was one of the times where I really took that into my own hands and, you know, chose something I wanted to go to and went to it myself instead of like somebody, you know, like taking me. So I felt, you know, very grown up and excited about that. And it was just such a fun thing to do, like on a random Tuesday, you know, a simple way to spice up your week, as I was talking about in last week's episode about, you know, finding fun things that you can do in your week. That pretty much sums it all up. This week, we are going to be talking all about adaptability. So let's start off by defining this. For me, adaptability is being able to incorporate different environments in a comfortable way that doesn't sacrifice yourself. So here there are two things I want to highlight. By comfortable, I mean that it's something that doesn't cause you anxiety, that you can fall into a flow with, that doesn't feel, you know, like foreign or scary or overwhelming. That's just something that feels, you know, peaceful to you and that doesn't make you stressed every single day. And what I mean by sacrificing yourself is really just being loyal to your values, your priorities, your beliefs, your habits, you know, your identity that you have, and not letting all of that be overpowered by the fact that you're in a completely different place and not feeling the need to like sacrifice that in order to fit in and have a good time. You know, it's really just finding the balance between staying loyal to your life before arriving to this new environment and, you know, letting that sort of new environment also kind of affect and, you know, modify you in certain ways. Today, we're going to be talking about adaptability, both in the cultural sense, so like moving to a new place, essentially. And also, I mean, I call it social, but I don't really think that's the best word, maybe like in a lifestyle way, you know, being very adaptable to the different circumstances that life can throw in your way, or, you know, the people around you can kind of like make you be more adaptable. Adaptability for me is very connected to flexibility, you know, being open to different options, not being rigid or set in your ways, but really just being able to explore the different opportunities, possibilities, and just ways of doing things. Not connoting them as like better or worse, but just understanding that they're different and being open to trying them without prejudice of any sort. But at the same time, it's also having a strong sense of self and a strong identity for what I mentioned before. You know, truly knowing yourself, knowing your interests, knowing the things you value, what makes you feel good, what you consider, you know, defines you in certain ways, whether that be, you know, like music, traditions, a religion, certain types of food, people, that kind of thing. Just having a lot of clarity in that sense. And having open-mindedness, this is connected with flexibility, but just being open to experiencing new things, understanding that the way things work in different parts of the world is very, like, varied. Not imposing yourself in other cultures or thinking that you're right or you know things better, but just really being open to understand the way different things work from a place of curiosity. Now that I've defined that according to my perspective, let's talk about why I'm so interested in discussing this in an episode of the podcast. And it's because I have been told, you know, since I was little, that I am a person who can adapt easily. I think people say this because I grew up traveling and living in different countries. So they just assume like, oh, if she was able to do that, then it means that she has a certain facility or like ease to adapt to, you know, different cultures and different countries. That must come very naturally to her. And so a question that I've been asking myself now as I'm older is if it's a question of habit or blood, you know, am I innately gifted, if you will, when it comes to adapting to different circumstances, or is it just because it's all I knew and it's what I grew up with? So yeah, considering that people would always tell me that I was very, you know, prone to be culturally, like prone to adapt culturally. Last year, a bit of context, last year I moved to France to study here and I'm half French. And it was rough at times for me to adapt, especially, you know, being on my own and having to settle into a new country without the help of my parents and, you know, without kind of like that family house environment. And so I would question, you know, like this talent or skill that people had always highlighted in me, because I was like, well, if I truly were able to adapt easily, then I wouldn't be struggling with this. I wouldn't be having these problems. So it's something about my identity that I really put in question. And, you know, it led to a little bit of like personality crisis, because something that I had believed in for so long was now maybe proving differently. So now I'm in a different place, you know, like mentally, not geographically. And I just kind of want to share what I've learned about this and share my experience and my thoughts regarding adaptability. So first we'll talk about when you arrive to a new environment and what that experience is like. Then we'll talk about when you've achieved it, when you have adapted finally to this new environment. And lastly, I'll talk a bit more on the side of lifestyle, not necessarily cultural adaptability, but adaptability in your day-to-day life. I feel like this episode could particularly resonate with people who are studying abroad or thinking of doing so or have done so, and are reflecting on this. What's it like arriving in an unknown place? I can describe this as a bunch of exposure and saturation. There's so much going on around you all the time. Everything is grabbing your eye. Everything is calling for attention. It's also new and different. It can be very overwhelming. You know, if you go for a walk in your hometown, it's all very common. It's all very ordinary. It's all things that you're familiar with, so you don't necessarily need to look twice. But when you're thrown into a completely unknown and uncharted territory, everything makes you want to stop, take it in, process it, and keep going. But life is way more fast-paced than that, so we don't necessarily have the opportunity to do so. It can be very overwhelming and exhausting. It feels like everything is worth giving your attention to. And I particularly imagine this, you know, if you go to a place that's completely different culturally, that speaks a completely different language. For instance, if I were to go to Japan, you know, I feel like a simple walk through the town center would be a very overwhelming experience, which I feel like I would need to pay very, like, a lot of attention to, you know, take in all the details and just feel very saturated with all of these new things going on. Especially if it's something that's very different to where you come from, I think it can quickly become isolating because you're looking at all of these people around you, and for them it's also normal, they're also used to everything. Meanwhile, for you, it's this completely chaotic experience that I just described, and you feel, you know, disconnected from all these people around you. You feel like you come from a different place, you have a different background, you have different customs, different things that make you feel comforted. And, you know, they're all just going about their life as they've always done so. And it feels hard to think that you will be able to connect with people and find that sense of security, which maybe you never will entirely, and build a life there in the midst of people who have been here for so long and just have been doing it so differently than you. So in this process of being submerged in this very grasping environment and feeling disconnected from all of this, I feel like the most important thing is to find a balance of what reminds you from home and all of these new things. I remember that before I moved to France, I was talking with a friend that was moving to Spain, and Manu said to me, I think that once we get there at the beginning, it's completely okay to rely more on our friendships back home during the time we, you know, find this support system in our new countries. And I feel like that was great advice. At the beginning, especially when you go for college, it's weird to see how other people are balancing, you know, their friends here and their friends there. So you'll see people that are very connected to their friends back home and people who have completely given themselves to the new people they're meeting here. But for me, it was really helpful to just keep my eyes on my own trajectory and think about, okay, this happened to me. I really want to share it with one of the people that knows me well from home. And progressively, you know, start opening your circle to these new people that you're meeting. But just really understanding that the people that you have back home aren't going anywhere. You know, they're still in your life. They're still connected with you. They still care about you. And they can really help you in this process of transition, given that they know you so well and they remind you of who you are. So that's what you want to look for. You want to look for the balance of what makes you feel comfortable and home, whether that be food, you know, people that you can call, music, decoration, if you can find a community of that in this new place. But you also don't want to shut that door completely. It is so valuable to adopt things from this new culture you're in. I think that's truly beautiful. There's some people that cringe on it and they're like, oh, you've only been here for 2 months and you're already acting as a local. I don't think we should see it that way. I think it's truly beautiful to see the process of how somebody completely different arrives in this space and is able to start adapting, you know, these things and like picking up these habits and these customs. And, you know, it really shows how like universally connected we all are. And it shows the beauty in that there's something for everybody in every culture. So last year when I was struggling and finding my place and in building a life that I loved, I would tell myself that I eventually fit into every place I lived in before. And there were places in which that adaptive process took very long. You know, I remember when I moved to Colombia the first time, I was so homesick. I was having so much trouble processing my parents' separation. I was having a hard time also adapting to the school life. You know, it was a very hard adjustment. But at the end of the school year, I finally felt like I had a good rhythm going. You know, I had made friends. You know, I had gotten more used to the environment and I was feeling pretty good about everything. And then I ended up moving again. But the point is, after that hard year, towards the end, I finally was able to adapt. Another example, when we moved to Bora Bora, it was the same thing. I didn't fit in school. I felt like I was very far away from all the people I loved. There was a tense house environment, you know, all of these factors that were going on. And then towards the end, I found a groove, you know, I had things to look forward to. I was happy. I was circled, like surrounded by people that I really liked. And I had a good thing going for me. And then once again, I moved. So I would just remind myself of all of these examples of tricky situations I was in, times where I thought I wasn't going to be able to adapt, and I did, you know? And if I hadn't moved, then I probably would have had a very good run of like happy memories and a good time there. You know, so the fact that I had two examples in which I thought I wasn't going to be able to adapt and I did served as, you know, concrete evidence to tell myself and to, you know, motivate myself to think that I would be able to adapt here as well. So this is really what I would tell myself a year ago when I felt like I wasn't fitting in and I felt like I never could and I couldn't see the light at the end of the tunnel. I would tell myself this even if I didn't entirely believe it, even if I thought that this was going to be a different case. And eventually, without even really realizing it, it came true. So circling back to, you know, the self of identity and reminding yourself of home, I want to reiterate that you really have to know yourself. You have to know your priorities, the things you value, the things you care about in life, the perspective you have on certain things. Because I think the valuable part about exposing yourself to a different culture is being able to ask yourself again, lifelong perspective that you have had, you know, maybe like, oh, in this country, they have this perspective regarding this. What do I think about this? You know, it gives you the opportunity to revisit things that you didn't question before. So I think that's really good and really valuable. But it's also important to know what your support systems are, what your coping mechanisms are. You know, when you get lost in all of this reevaluating, you know, maybe reinventing yourself, having kind of like that connection to the firm ground and, you know, telling yourself, oh, you know, when I was back home and I was struggling, I would do this and it would help. And now that you're in such a different environment, this experience can feel even more comforting and help you kind of like get back to your center. Because yeah, as I was saying, when you're in a new culture, you can be very prone to, you know, like reevaluate things and question things and maybe want to do things differently. So I just feel like it's a balance of learning, you know, what things you are willing to try and experiment with and what things you really feel like are a part of you and you wouldn't want to give up or change. Interpret that as you may. I just really remember that a year ago, I felt very fragile. You know, I would go out in the morning and know that any minor inconvenience would push me over the edge, would send me into tears, would make me reevaluate my moving here. You know, it was very much like that. And day by day, you really do build thicker skin. You get used to things. Things seem less scary. They start feeling even more welcoming. And that's the adaptative process. But it really is a process that you have to go through day by day and progressively, because I feel like some things only settle in with time. If you're in that situation of feeling fragile, something that helped me a lot was giving myself little things to look forward to every so often, you know, so a little snack to lighten my day or a weekend outing that I could look forward to. You know, you really have to push yourself to the exercise of thinking, what can I look forward to? When life is going really well and everything is pink and everything, you know, you don't have to force yourself to think about those things. You simply know. But if you're going through a hard time, something that helps me is to ask myself the question, what am I looking forward to? And if there's nothing, then make something in my schedule that I can look forward to. And lastly, on the adaptative process is you don't want it to take too long. Something that I regret about last year is maybe spending too much time in self-pity and in regret and in questioning things instead of focusing on where I was at the moment, what my life had become, and, you know, accepting it and embracing it. I feel like if I would have gone on with that process a little bit quicker, I would have been happier sooner and would have been able to enjoy my time more, because now is my last year in Bordeaux as a college student. And I'm just thinking to myself like, you know, like I'm enjoying this year 100%, but imagine if I had also enjoyed last year 100%, you know, like I would have double memories. So yeah. But at the same time, you know, like don't rush yourself, you know, it's a process and everything, but I feel like there's a point where you can gently push yourself. Fast forward to when you feel like you've finally adapted to this new environment. Take a moment to, you know, bask in that and appreciate it. I feel like it is so impressive to see your own growth. I made an episode on this last year. You know, when you kind of like notice little things that make you realize how much you've grown. You've probably had a lot of ups and downs. I know that for me, I felt like I was fully adapted, you know, 10 times before I stopped asking myself that question, which was when I was actually adapted, if that makes sense. And in this cultural case, I feel like it's so special to find you know, the mix of who you were before and who you've become now. For instance, I love seeing the little French things that I've picked up, you know, like buying my own fresh bread, you know, raclette, those types of winter activities, the day-to-day lifestyle things, you know, just small things I've picked up that serve as evidence of my multiculturality and, you know, the fact that I live here, but I'm also from other places. So I feel like that's just really cool, you know, when you can kind of take a step back and realize like, wow, look at me now, you know, look at this rich blend of different cultures, which I'm so grateful to have been exposed to and to have allowed myself to explore. And in this case, I really love thinking back as to what factors helped me. You know, that's why I'm kind of doing this episode. What people helped me, you know, what parts of the city saw me grow, what activities made me feel like I belong here, what personal exercises made this transition smoother, for instance, journaling, what have I learned about myself, how do I carry my day-to-day life, what activities do I do, what do I look forward to now, how have I evolved, how do I handle things differently than I did before, what things that affected me a lot before now are more natural or insignificant. I feel like I'm in an excellent point of my life to just reflect on that process and understand, you know, how much I've evolved in a good way and, you know, just really give my past version, my past self, a hug and tell her that it will all be okay and that I'll come out of this much stronger and much more open. I think that goes to show that it is a very natural process to develop in order to fit in, because at the end of the day, it really is a matter of survival. That's why I would tell myself that I had always managed to adapt to the different countries I was in, because at the end of the day, I feel like it is something quite biological, you know, like it happens with animals, it happens with us human animals as well, you know, we're going to be prone to evolve in order to a situation that makes us and our environment feel comfortable, as I said in the beginning. And if there were a situation in which I hadn't ended up adapting, I think I would probably tell myself that it was a matter of time, you know, that I hadn't given myself enough time in that environment to adapt. And that if I had held on maybe just a little bit longer, I would have reached that sweet spot of having adapted. I think it's really nice to allow yourself to be surprised by the things of this culture. For instance, there were a lot of things I didn't like about French people coming in here, and I feel like now there are even more, but there are also so many things that I love about them and, you know, the way they lead their lives. So it really is a matter of letting yourself be surprised and keeping an open mind. For instance, something that I remember is that when I arrived to Colombia, I was like 12, and in my house and in my family, I feel like, as is the case most of the time, there was a very like negative connotation towards reggaeton as like a musical genre, and, you know, the vulgar sometimes lyrics and things like that. So at this age, I was very anti it. I wouldn't listen to it, you know, when we were on the street and, you know, like a classic song of the genre would come up, I wouldn't even recognize it. And I would create a very clear barrier between me and my friends who listened to it. And yeah, I would just very be like in my ways of like, no, this music is bad, listen to it, blah, like listen how gross it is, blah, blah, blah. And then just a few years later, I would be the one screaming at the top of my lungs these songs and requesting them at parties. I feel like it's a very good example of cultural adaptation, because I don't want you guys to assume that I, you know, like sacrificed my morals and, you know, started listening to this music just to fit in. Because the thing in this example is that I had never really listened to music in Spanish. You know, I thought that the only music in Spanish was reggaeton, and I was so wrong. You know, there are all the tropical rhythms, you know, there's merengue, there's bachata, there's salsa, there's all of that. But there's also a whole other branch of like indie, folklore, and of course there's pop. You know, there's so many genres in Spanish. So I thought that any song in Spanish was automatically reggaeton. I was totally wrong about that. I discovered all of these other genres first and was amazed by them. And so my friends were like, oh my gosh, you're listening to music in Spanish? And I was like, yes, but it's not reggaeton. And then eventually with reggaeton, I just stopped repeating what I heard elders say in my environment. And, you know, little by little, I started listening to the music in parties, starting catching on to it because the songs are very catchy, you know, started to dance to it. And I just feel like it's a good example of being able to adapt. You know, maybe you'll continue thinking that I just did it to fit in. But even if I did, I think it's a beautiful example of how you can blend in with other cultures. You can change. Your perspective on something can change. And I feel like I was much more happier when I accepted reggaeton in my life and when I stopped being a snob about it and judging other people about it. So I feel like ultimately it benefited me. And yeah, you know, this is just an invitation to be open to things about the culture you're entering and let yourself be surprised. I once heard a guy say, he was with this girl at the time and they had been together for a while. They were like the it couple. And he was saying like, oh, if we ever break up one day, I think the saddest part will be when we forget our relationship, when we've both moved on, you know, and are further down the line and forget how much we loved each other, what our relationship was like, what our lives were like. And that really hit me because I feel like now that I'm adapted here in this new place and that things are going well, I don't want to forget Colombia. And if I do, that will be so sad, you know? And it's hard because I feel like last year my heart was so much in Colombia that every day here felt like an ache in my heart and like I had FOMO of being in Colombia and like my life was there, but I was here. And it was very hard for me, like emotionally. And then when I got back, I was like, ugh, finally. But now I feel like my life is here. I feel like the things I think about are here, you know? Which is so liberating for me, and mentally I feel like it's much better because I'm more at peace and it's not like my heart is wrinkled every day and I feel like I'm not where I'm supposed to be. So for me personally, emotionally, it's more liberating, but I wouldn't want that to get to the extreme of where, you know, I forget where I come from and I stop loving Colombia and I stop thinking about all the good things it has to offer and all the happy memories I have there and all the things I love about it there. And all the people there, you know? So it really is a complicated situation and a complicated balance where of like honoring my past and where I come from, but also letting myself be happy and present, which I feel like is the challenge I'm currently facing and is what I'm trying to understand how to navigate in my life. So yeah, I feel like I've overcome a big mountain, which was adapting here, but now I'm navigating, you know, a smaller hill of like, okay, how do I want to balance my life, you know, between here and there? Switching in a different direction, now let's not talk about cultural adaptability, but just more day-to-day adaptability in your lifestyle, if you will. I love people that are adaptable and flexible to different life circumstances. You know, people that can quickly make a decision on their feet, that are okay with changing plans if greater circumstances force you to. People that aren't stubborn, people that are, you know, that go with the flow. I feel like this is something that can be universally agreed upon. It's very nice to have these people around. It's like one less thing to worry about. And that's not to say that it's people that give up easily or that don't have drive. You know, it's just people that understand when it's time to let go and that don't get hung up on it. I feel like it's, you know, they're great people to have around. But you need to be very quick on your feet. You know, if you realize that you're not going to get into a certain club, you know, be able to think, oh, so what should we do now? Maybe we can go to this other place. We can try this out, you know. Of course, partying is the first example that comes to my mind, you know, or if you want to go to a restaurant and it's full, to be able to think like, okay, what else can we do? You know, just to have a very resilient vision. And this makes me think about me in my life when I'm trying to adapt to something new. For instance, if there's something that looks like it can change my life or a new activity, for instance, this year I've been going to these like vegetable handouts where they give vegetables and fresh products to students. And you know, the first time I went, because it's a really long line, I was like, okay, how is this going to fit into my life? How many times am I going to come here? What am I going to do when I'm waiting in the line? How am I going to align this with like my other groceries, the other activities I have in my life? You know, I was very much thinking, mind you, it was the first time I had ever been going. I was thinking about how this was going to fit into my life, how I was going to fit it into the puzzle, how I was going to make everything around it, you know, adapt to it. And that's the way I am with any new element that, you know, comes in my life. You know, a new friend group I meet that I want to hang out with, or a new club I want to join, or, you know, a new activity I discover, things like that. I do spend a lot of time thinking like, okay, how am I going to make this work? And that can be either a good sign of adaptability or a bad one. It can be a bad one because it's like, oh my gosh, you know, it's not that deep. It's not that serious. If you really go with the flow, then you would just let it flow naturally and not try to plan it so much. But on the other hand, I think it can be seen as a good form of adaptability because it's like you're making like the conscious choices in order to make this something sustainable. So view it as you will. I just thought that was a relevant example to bring up. And yeah, you know, when I think of people that can easily adapt, I think about, as I said, people who you know it's good to be with when plans don't go through, you know, that won't ruin the night or spend the night complaining like, oh, I really wanted to do this, you know, but that will find a way to have a good time regardless. I also think of people who you know you can take anywhere or with any crowd, you know, if you want to take them to this cool new spot in the city that you discovered, you know, to know that these are people that you can take to any like new weird place, and also with any crowd. You know, I'm not gonna lie, there's sometimes friends that I'm like, I wouldn't be so sure to introduce you to any of my other friends. You know, like there are people that I think I would be so happy to introduce you to literally all the people I know, and I know that would be a good reflection of who I am. And there are other people with which that's not the case. So it really gets me thinking, like, I hope I am a person who people think they can introduce to others and have it be a good reflection of who they are, you know, because you just know that these people will get along with others, you know, will be kind, will be interested in their lives, will get a good conversation flowing, whatever you value as a good interaction. But I want to highlight something. I don't want you to misinterpret me. I don't think that, you know, this trait that I'm describing as something admirable is losing yourself or, you know, being fake or anything of the sort. I am not, you know, describing people that change their personality according to the environment they're in. No, that's not at all what I'm saying. What I'm talking about is people that are so open, you know, so chill that they can connect with any vibe without like sacrificing their personality or, you know, being someone they're not or pretending. It's just that naturally they can find a way to fit into any environment or with any kind of person and make it feel like a natural connection. And I truly do feel that this is a trait that comes naturally to some people. You know, there are some people that are incredibly good at adapting to different environments, you know, moving to different countries and meeting new groups of people and just being exposed to that diversity. So I do think that it's something that can come naturally, but it's also something that you can cultivate with time. Circling back to the question I was asking myself at the beginning about whether my cultural adaptability was innate or just out of force, I feel like it comes back to this. Some people are just naturally better at connecting with different types of people, but I think that it's a skill that anybody can develop. Wrapping things up, today we talked all about adaptability. In the introduction, I started defining what adaptability is to me and why I feel like it's such a close topic to my life. Then we went all into new environments and describing how it can be overwhelming, how it can be isolating, and really just to go about it in the first few moments if you're exposed to a new and unknown environment. And then we transitioned to the part where you feel like you've achieved it. You feel like you've adapted to this new environment and understanding, you know, how to let it be a part of your life without losing yourself and reflecting on all the beauty and growth that comes with it, and also thinking back to the time of where you were before this new experience in your life and really evaluating what has changed, what it stays the same, and if it's the way you want it to be. Lastly, we took all of this to a more general example of how to be an easily adaptable person in lifestyle, you know, and how to go with the flow, understand the different situations that come in your life, and overall make life a more pleasant experience for yourself and let you be more easygoing. So there you have it. On that note, I will end today's episode because I am dreaming about the dinner I'm about to cook myself. See you soon. Well, that's about it for this episode. I would like to clarify that I am not a specialist. Everything I share is based off of my experience and what I've learned. Don't forget to follow the podcast Instagram at TheastPodcast. I'm very active on there. It's a visually aesthetic platform built with interactive spaces for us. Please tag me on your stories and send me pics listening with your tea. Also, please rate, review, follow, and subscribe. Whatever your platform lets you do, it would help me out a lot. Because reviews are the only way I can start growing, getting recommended to new people, and being included in rankings. Plus, I read reviews on here, so if you want to be featured, go on right ahead. Please spread this episode with any friends or family you think will like it. I would love it for you to share your thoughts on this podcast. You can send me a voice message directly through Anchor or through my email, theastypodcast@gmail.com. You can reach out for business inquiries and set up sponsorships through there as well. Make sure to check out the show notes. There's a bunch of fun stuff listed down there, alongside with links to everything I mentioned here today. Remember, you can join me every Thursday for a new episode, including the last one of every month with a guest, and an additional bonus monthly Q&A. Thank you for your time, and for joining me in my little corner of the internet. I appreciate you. Thanks for tuning in, have a beautiful week, and a wonderful existence.